So good. Hope you guys are having a great time at home and really being able to walk into the presence of God. I'm so blessed, so glad to be here. If we could take a little bit of that ring out, that'd be super fantastic. let's start out how we love to start out. What do? Love God and love others. What do we say? I love God and I love you. Got all excited. So Mark has been this high-paced, like, rush through the beginning of the movement of Christianity, which is based on Jesus, simply Jesus. And so today we're going to find ourselves in one of the longer speeches of Jesus. Actually, Mark tends to jump to movement and action and miracles and what's Jesus doing. And here we're going to pause and sort of have this longer teaching from Jesus about the growing kingdom of God. It's in Mark chapter 4. If you're following along in your Bible, let's check it out. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake, and the crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and he sat on it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. And he taught them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and they ate it up. And some fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came out and the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and it choked the plants so that they didn't bear any grain at all. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, it grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 30 or 60 or 100-fold. Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears, let him hear." So the natural tendency for the audience is to critique the preacher. But here the preacher, Jesus, he tells the audience, the issue is with how you will hear, not with how I preach. And so he said, did you hear that? Did you catch that? If you got ears, you got to hear. And then he shares this parable. Now, the word parable, it actually means literally to set alongside. So Jesus was setting a spiritual truth alongside a daily truth of living. Now, this is a little bit different than an illustration. Parables aren't quite illustrations. A great teacher will take an illustration, and first they give like the truth they're trying to share, and then they illustrate that, or they give some supporting evidence, either through a story or through an analogy or something like that, to support the truth that they had set out there. But when Jesus uses parables, that is not what he does. He does not start out with a truth. Rather, when he shares a parable, he's using it more like a doorway, where the doorway is open and the listener has the option. If they are uninterested, they simply sit outside, listen, and don't think much of it. But if the listener is interested, then they will step through the doorway and they will think about what's being shared and they will say, "What does this mean?" And they will try to apply it to their life. That's how Jesus is using parables. The key to a parable, whenever we see it in the Bible, is to understand or to figure out what is the main point of the parable. The details of the parables are always secondary or even tertiary to the main point of the parable. So you've always got to figure out what is the main point of the parable. So Jesus has just told one. So pop quiz, hot shot, what's the main point? Speed reference for the old people. What is the main point of this parable? Let's think about it. He was talking about what? A farmer, seeds, hoping for some plants to grow, that kind of stuff. And so as we think about what the point or what the main point of this parable is, we've got to say it's got to be something about the plants and the growth and the farmer. What does every farmer want? There's really only one thing a farmer wants. He really only wants to have a crop or a yield, right? And it doesn't much matter why he doesn't get it. And so in the parable, sometimes this happened or that happened, but really that prevented a crop from happening. The farmer doesn't care about much else. It doesn't care like how tall the trees get as long as they provide fruit. It doesn't care about all sorts of things. And so when we're looking at the parable, the spiritual alongside to that, so if this is a parable about farmers planting and then he's saying at the end there's this yield of 100-fold, that's what farmers want, like a ton of crops, right? And so if that's the actuality, what's the spiritual alongside for that? The spiritual alongside has to be something along those similar lines. It has to be something like spiritual growth that God desires, something like kingdom growth, anything along those lines. Now, Jesus is luckily going to define this out a little bit better for us later. But that's what I have in mind as I'm first looking at this. Something about growth, a God growth, spiritual growth, kingdom growth. And if that's a correct understanding, then every other part of the parable has to fall under the parameters of that reality. So let's see. And Mark 4 and 10, moving on, he says, when he was alone, the 12 and the others around him, they asked him about the parables. So he told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that, and then he gives a quote here, that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. So Jesus says, the secret... That's exciting. All right, so Jesus says the secret in the Bible... in the Bible, a secret or a mystery is something... It isn't something like we use. We often say like a secret is like something I can't figure out. But in the Bible, a secret is something that was hidden but now revealed. So in the biblical use of secret, I can know what the secret is, and it can still be a secret because I know that I wouldn't have known it if God didn't reveal it to me, if that makes sense. So he's not saying, here's a secret that you can't know. He's saying, here's a secret that's knowable, but only by the movement of God in your life. So Jesus answers his disciples' questions about the parable in just a moment. But first, he tells them why he's using parables. And he quotes this scripture from Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 9. And so really, he's saying, in teaching by parables, Jesus offers the listener, the hearer, the opportunity to dig deep and to find the truth, or to turn a blind eye to the profound truth that he's offering, to either go through that doorway or not. He says, look, if they want to see, they're going to see. If they want to hear, they're going to hear. Because if they do turn, otherwise they may turn in. If they do turn, then they can actually perceive and they can actually hear. Look, he never used parables to blind people, but rather to make them look again. Say, look again at this truth I'm trying to tell you. Then Jesus says to them, don't you understand the parable? Like, how are you going to understand any parable if you didn't understand that parable? The farmer, here's one of the keys, the farmer sows the word. Some people are like seeds along the path where the word is sown, and as soon as they hear it, Satan comes and he takes away the word of God that was sown in them. Others, like seeds sown in rocky places, hear the word and at once they receive it with joy, but since they have no root, they only last for a short time. And when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like the seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things come in and choke out the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown in the good soil, they hear the word, they accept it, and they produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. So the spiritual parallel for this parable wasn't immediately clear to the disciples. They were like, huh? And so Jesus explains it by giving them the key. Because if you don't understand the key to the parable, you're not going to understand the parable. And so the key is, Jesus says, the seed is the word of God. It is God's word to people. God telling them something, giving them something. That's what the seed is. So if you think the seed represents money, then you're going to miss the parable. If you think the seed represents something like love or hard work, again, you're going to miss the parable. If you think the seed means salvation, as nice as that sounds, then you get caught up in, this is a salvation parable, do they have it, do they not? Then you're actually going to miss the mark also. Because the seed is not salvation, the seed is the word of God. Salvation is a part of the word of God, but it is not the full word of God. And so if you choose salvation as what the seed means, then your meaning is going to be too narrow. You're going to miss the actual point because you're looking too narrowly. So the farmer sows the word, the seeds, but why? Why does a farmer sow seeds? For fruit. What does a farmer care about? Fruit that comes from seed. That's the whole point. So in our parallel, what does God care about? God cares about fruit from his word. In other words, kingdom growth. God's word in you producing something amazing in you. See, God's kingdom grows in two different ways. It grows by the individual believer growing as a kingdom saint, but God's kingdom also grows by the addition of new kingdom believers. And I think these parables and the whole section in Mark chapter 4 is hitting both of those things at the same time. See, a kingdom can't grow unless both those things happen. I have to, as a kingdom saint, grow in my own personal spiritual walk. And if I am not, then God's kingdom is not growing. But it can't just be me growing. The kingdom has to have additional kingdom members to grow. And these parables is hitting them both. God's word producing in you something amazing. That's what we're talking about. This is commonly called the parable of the sower, but I think it would better be titled the parable of the soil, because it's because of the soil's differences, the variable that influences the outcome is in the soil. It's not in the farmer or even the seed, but it's on where the seed falls that makes the difference. That's the variable. God's word is true always and forever, and it is powerful. God is the sower of the seed. He is powerful. And so the mitigating issue is the soil of a person's heart. And he lists some of the hindrances to kingdom growth. Some of the hindrances about me or you in terms of this, the proper seed to fruit cycle. The first one he mentions is Satan. So one of the hindrances to the kingdom growth in your life and in the world in general, God's kingdom in general, is Satan. And Satan is at work in the spiritual realm, and so that's where we would look for him. That's where his main destruction happens, in the spiritual realm. What do I mean by that? Perhaps maybe you've doubted your faith. Maybe you're just inundated with doubts all the time. Is this real? Could this be true? It doesn't seem so. I saw on the news they found another fossil of Lucy or whatever they found. God, are you really out there? Maybe you doubt that God is in control because you see all these things happening in the world right now, and there's people hurting, and there's riots, and there's like this COVID-19, and you doubt that God is in control. Perhaps some of you doubt your own worth or your own value. You doubt that you're lovable enough. You doubt that grace can truly be a free gift. It's one of those too good to be true ideas. In your inner mind, maybe you hear whispers of insufficiency or condemnation. Look, I'll tell you, those aren't God's word. Those kind of things that I mentioned, right, the doubts about faith, worries about the present, not feeling lovable, my own insecurities, those aren't God's word to you for sure. And most of you, I don't think you're self-sabotagers, so they're not your word to you. And so whose word would that be to you? If you're hearing those kind of things in your inner self, in your soul, in your spiritual realm, I would say you'd have to take a hard look on the probability that that's actually Satan saying those things to you, or one of the enemy forces saying those things to you. I really do think that the devil is real, and I think that he wants to prompt us in our spirit to have all sorts of doubts, just like this parable is talking about. Look, God says that you are loved and you are his child, and he cares about you deeply. And Satan says the exact opposite. Like a bird swooping down and snatching the seed, like Satan wants to remove God's word from your heart. He wants to tell replace God's voice to you with a lie. That's his number one thing he wants to do. It's his preferred result, to keep God's voice or God's word about you, to you, out of your heart. And he does it in the spiritual realm. Another hindrance to the growth of the kingdom of God in you and around you is a rocky life, Jesus says. Maybe things don't go your way. Someone you love died way too soon. Things don't seem fair. Maybe trouble follows you at every turn, and you're just like, why again? Why me? Difficulties in life can ruin the growth that God desires in you, because you just simply stop listening to God. You drop your Bible during a difficult season, and you're no longer open to hearing what he has to say because of difficult circumstances that you're facing. And so difficult seasons can ruin our growth in God. It can ruin the kingdom growth that he desires in each of us. A third thing that he lists is worries and wealth. Now, this is a really interesting coupling of concepts. He says worries and wealth can hurt your kingdom growth because they're both preoccupations. They're distractions. They're competing priorities. Both have the possibility to take your mind away from God. How many people have not become what God wants them to become because of financial reasons? Maybe finances trumped faith. How many people are paralyzed in their witness to others because of worries? Both of these cause us to become self-absorbed and to become frozen to the movement of God and the response to His Spirit. You can't grow spiritually because your worries and wealth are the number one priority in your life, not God and God's Word to you. So reality check, like to do this occasionally, reality check, honestly as you can be in your heart, is God's word to you in your life the number one priority for you? If not, then God's intended growth cycle and results are going to be thwarted. But lastly, Jesus says in this parable, there are people that are like good ground, where they accept the word, they hear the word of God, they bring in the word of God, and they bear fruit and thus fulfill the purpose of the seed in the first place. This parable shows that when the word is received as it should be, something happens. Fruit is produced. If nothing is happening in us or to us, then the word of God is not being received as it should. If you are not seeing kingdom growth inside of your own personal life, then you are not receiving God's word correctly to you. Now, when I say God's word, I don't just mean the Bible. Now, the Bible is the primary way, but sometimes you can hear God's voice in worship. You can hear God's voice in prayer. You can hear God's voice through the wisdom of others. And if you are not experiencing growth in your spiritual life, it is because something is not a matter with the word. Something is not the matter with God. Something is the matter with your soil. And so if you're not seeing a production of fruit in your life, if you're not seeing like people coming becoming believers around you, if it's been 25 years since you saw someone come to Christ near you, then you are not producing fruit as God desires you to. If you have not seen a fruit of righteousness in your own life, if you're not more patient, more loving, more joyful, more kind today than you were 5 years ago, then you are not producing the fruit that God desires. And so something is a matter, and it's not God's word, and it's not God, it's you. And I love you enough to tell you that it's you if you're not yielding fruit for God. Look, that key being God's word is broad. It isn't just like the Bible, It's why I said earlier it's not just salvation. This parable isn't about salvation. Well, it kind of is, because salvation is part of God's word to us. But it's not only salvation. This parable is about God's growth in your life and in His kingdom. His word is wider than just salvation, calling you to repent from sins, calling you to turn to Him, calling you to grow as a kingdom saint, and yielding a crop 30 times or 60 times or 100 times the sowing of the seed. In individual characteristics, like the fruit of the Spirit, but in the harvest of souls. This parable is all about kingdom growth. Now, I was thinking about that last part, about what would that look like. I mean, what is Jesus talking about? He's not talking about like one apple happened once ever. Like, imagine your stock investments. I think most of our church, anyone have a stock investment, or you've even heard about the stock market? Maybe our young people haven't. But the rest of us who have maybe tried to do a stock, have you ever bought a stock? And it goes up like 12%, and you're like, yeah, like I am winning. I put $100 in it, and now I got $112. That's a 12%. Jesus is talking about a 30 times. What's the percent of 30 times? 3,000%? 6,000%? 10,000% yield. Now, what if you had an investment, and you got a 30 times, so you invested a $1,000, you got $30,000. You invested $10,000, you got $300,000 or $1 million from it. Now that would be a huge yield. And Jesus says, exactly. If you are hearing God's word right, there will be a huge yield. And if we're not seeing it, then we better pause and take a moment and say, I'm not seeing a huge yield in my life. What's the problem? What's going on in my soil? Is it Satan? Is it life is kicking my butt? Is it wealth or worries or preoccupations? What's wrong with my soil? Then he moves on, sort of, Jesus does. And he says to them right after this, do you bring a lamp and put it under a bowl or under the bed? No. Instead, don't you put it up on the lampstand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought into the open. If anyone has ears, again, hear, let him hear. By his very nature, light is meant to reveal. Truth is the same way, and God's promises that it will be revealed. We must not hide this light that he gives us. Look, if you have the truth of God, if you have that word of God that was just sown in you, you have a solemn responsibility to spread the truth in whatever way God gives you opportunity to spread it. Just as someone who had a cure for a life-threatening disease has a moral obligation to put that out into the open, you have a moral obligation to share the truth that God has given you. God didn't light your lamp to remain hidden, but so that you could share it, so that his kingdom would grow. He continues on, consider carefully what you hear, because with the measure that you use, it's going to be measured to you and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever doesn't have, even what they think they have or what they have, that's going to be taken from them. The hearer of God's voice will get measure for measure, and the measure that you pour out is the one that you're going to be measured in. So if someone has no interest in the gospel, then the preaching of the gospel is going to seem uninteresting. It's not going to matter. If you're uninterested in the things of God, then no growth is going to be found. Look, if someone wants to find fault with the church or the pastor, man, there is plenty of fault to be found. But on the other hand, if someone is hungry, then they're going to be fed. And whoever wants God's movement in their life is going to find it. When we hear the word of God and we receive it with gladness, more is going to be given to you. More what? More of God's spiritual riches. More desire to hear. So you hear a little and you say, God, that was really good. I want to hear some more. And God says, okay, I'll give you some more. And then you see God's work in your life and you say, God, I want that a little bit more. So more of his blessing, more of his understanding. He helps you to even understand what he's talking about week by week and day by day. More of his presence in your life. More of the possessions of the blessings that he promises in his word for you. More passion and courage and opportunity to share him with others. Again, this passage is talking about kingdom growth. He said this also. What's the kingdom of God like? Like a man scatters seed on the ground, and night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and it grows, though he doesn't know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. And as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. God is at work in us as receptive believers, growing our souls in his promise. And he's also at work in expanding his kingdom by convicting hearts of non-believers. So we better get ready to reap when the harvest is ready. I do want to take a pause and say, have you ever planted a garden? What happens if you don't harvest once the thing becomes ripe? What happens? The thing ends up dying, shriveling, and becoming rotten. And I worry sometimes that we have come to the ripe harvest moment in people's lives, maybe sharing the gospel, and we didn't share the gospel, we didn't reap the harvest. And so I worry that what was ready at that point, and a few more weeks later, it actually is going to be rotten. And it's not pickable or harvestable because I didn't take the opportunity to harvest it when it was ripe. When my heart is ready and sensitive, and I say, I got to go to lunch instead. The sermon's kind of making sense to me, but you know what? I just heard an Instagram message. I better check that. See, there was a harvest that was ready right then, and maybe you didn't reap it. And so I want to be careful that we are ready, not just to plant. Sometimes we like to say we're planters of the seed. But God calls you to harvest the seed, to actually have that fruit, pick it, enjoy it, share it, and give it personally, and then to be on the lookout to see if there's someone else all around you every day that needs harvesting. God's been working on them. Maybe you've been praying for the same person 10 years and they keep bringing up stuff and you're like, well, maybe now is not the time. No, probably now is the time. Don't let that harvest rot because you didn't say something. What a tragedy that would be. And he finishes with this today. Again, he says, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? What parable can we use to describe it? Here's one. It's like a mustard seed, which is like this really small seed on the earth. Yet when it's planted, it grows and it becomes the largest of all garden plants. I mean, it's got such big branches that the birds can even sit there and perch in its shade. So taking something that's small and creating something that's huge. Again, in terms of like kingdom growth, like Christianity started with just a few hundred. Now there's billions of people. And in our generation, maybe there could be an additional 1 billion people. Maybe 2 billion people in just our lifetimes. Man, that's a cool harvest. That's the kingdom growing. And in terms of individual kingdom citizens, God is doing something huge in each of us as well. See, God, that's what the kingdom's like. It's growing and growing and growing, and it should be evident in your life. Maybe you were dumb and immature and young, and as you're growing and getting bigger, you're more mature and you're more satisfied, and you're not becoming more and more bitter old person, but you're becoming a more and more joyful, passionate, excited Christ follower. Today has got to be better than yesterday, and this year has got to be better spiritually than last year, and college can't be your best days. That's not how growth works. It doesn't grow big and then top off and start to then grow small till you die. That's not the way it was meant to be. With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. And he didn't say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything. So this teaching of Jesus has the potential to shake things up. I think the teaching of Jesus shared with us this morning. And I would say during this COVID time, we really have a reset opportunity. Never in our lives have we had such a radical opportunity to change and to step out in faith. Like this time with family, like you probably have more alone time than you've ever had. It's the exact catalyst for each of us to look at our life and decide what is truly important. There aren't a lot of break moments in life, but I think that we're actually living in one right now. That can change our priorities, that can change the way we view the world, change the way we view eternity, change the way we view our profession, change the way we navigate among other people. This is one of those moments where it's sort of like pause, the computer's resetting because of this. And when we come out of this, what will it look like? What if we emerge from COVID different, changed, kingdom-minded? What if this pause was exactly what you needed to get the soil of your heart right and ready? What if God is calling you for some kingdom growth now? Let me pray for us. Father, I don't want to whiz by on a Sunday and miss everything. But I want to ask that you would move in me. Man, I was really hearing the part in your word about the soil and my heart, if I'm not seeing a yield, then something's wrong in my heart. God, I don't know if I see a yield that's 30 or 60 or 100. And sometimes, God, I'm satisfied with a 7% yield. And I think that you want something more. And so I just pray for us, God, that we would have our ears open. What did Jesus just say? Who has ears? Let him hear. But there are some who will be seeing but not seeing. Hearing but not actually hearing. God, I don't want to be one of those. I want to be part of the 40, 60, 100-fold. And I know that it's not just me doing it. You do that work. And I want to yield to the work of you. And would you just be with us this week as we just kind of sit in your scripture? Maybe go back and read this Mark 4. Would you just bless us as we're trying to come near to you? We're wanting something different.